Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Propaganda by Edward Bernays is a landmark work of political theory, public relations, and mass communication first published in 1928 and later issued in audio form. Bernays, one of the founding figures of modern public relations, argues that organized persuasion is not an accidental feature of modern life, but a necessary one. He presents propaganda as a method for guiding public opinion in complex societies where citizens cannot examine every issue directly. The book is less a neutral history than a forceful argument for what Bernays calls the engineering of consent, meaning the deliberate shaping of attitudes and behavior through media, symbols, expert framing, and coordinated messaging. Its purpose is to explain how opinion is formed and managed across politics, business, and culture, while also revealing the uncomfortable relationship between democracy, power, and manipulation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, engineering consent as a structural feature of democracy. Bernays treats propaganda not as an exceptional wartime practice, but as a regular necessity in modern democratic society. His central claim is that large populations cannot make fully informed decisions on every issue, so organized persuasion becomes a practical mechanism for social coordination. In this view, consent is not simply discovered in the public, it is shaped through strategic communication. That argument gives the book its enduring influence and its controversy. Bernays does not describe democracy as a pure marketplace of independent judgments. Instead, he portrays it as a system in which leaders, specialists, and communicators filter complexity into forms the public can absorb. The book, therefore, reframes propaganda as a governing technique rather than merely a deceptive tactic. It is a defense of managed opinion, but also an admission that modern political life depends on hidden influence more than open deliberation. Secondly, mass psychology and the limits of rational public judgment. A major theme of the book is Bernays' belief that human beings respond not only to facts but to symbols, emotions, habits, and social imitation. He draws on early social psychology to argue that collective behavior is shaped by unconscious forces that skilled communicators can activate. This helps explain why simple factual argument is often less effective than emotionally charged framing or socially validated messaging. Bernays is interested in what people want, fear, admire, and repeat, not just what they say they believe in abstract terms. That emphasis on hidden motives makes the book more than a manual of publicity. It is an explanation of how mass opinion works under conditions of overload and uncertainty. The public, in his account, does not process every claim independently. It tends to follow cues from authorities, institutions, and widely visible narratives. This psychological model is central to the book because it justifies why propaganda can be powerful even when people think they are acting freely. Thirdly, from wartime persuasion to peacetime public relations, Bernays draws heavily from his experience with the Committee on Public Information during World War I. Where large-scale communication was used to mobilize public support for the war. That historical background matters because it shows how techniques developed for wartime persuasion migrated into peacetime business, politics, and culture. The book presents propaganda as adaptable across sectors. The same basic methods that can frame a war can also promote consumer goods, public causes, or institutional goals. This is one reason the work is so important in the history of public relations. Bernays is effectively translating wartime propaganda into a peacetime profession. He suggests that organized communication can coordinate public behavior without force using publicity, expert endorsement, media placement, and symbolicivance. The book therefore helps explain how modern public relations emerged from government information campaigns and became a permanent feature of corporate and political life. Fourthly, invisible government and the concentration of agenda-setting power. One of the most striking ideas in propaganda is the claim that a small number of individuals and institutions act as an invisible government by shaping what the public notices, believes, and desires. Bernays is not describing a formal conspiracy in a narrow sense. He is pointing to the practical power of editors, advertisers, corporate leaders, political strategists, and publicists who influence the flow of information before ordinary citizens encounter it. This matters because power in the book is not defined only by laws or elections. It also exists in the ability to set agendas, define problems, and limit the range of acceptable choices. Bernays argues that modern society requires such mediation because complexity would otherwise produce confusion. Yet the same mechanism can narrow public debate and privilege elite interests. That tension is central to the book. The same invisible system that organizes society can also quietly govern it. The result is a sobering account of how consent is structured before it ever appears to be freely given. Lastly, ethical ambiguity and the lasting controversy around manipulation. Propaganda remains controversial because Bernays presents manipulation with remarkable openness while still treating it as socially useful. He acknowledges the need for an evolving ethical code, but he never fully resolves the moral problem of influencing people without their clear awareness. This makes the book valuable and disturbing at the same time. It is useful because it explains how persuasion works in practice and why public opinion is so vulnerable to orchestration. It is disturbing because it normalizes techniques that many readers would consider undemocratic when used for elite advantage. The book has therefore become a classic reference both for public relations and for criticism of media power. Later readers, including critics of corporate influence, have used it to show how modern institutions manufacture consent rather than merely report reality. Its enduring relevance comes from this ambiguity. It is both a manual for influence and a warning about the social consequences of organized persuasion. That dual character is what keeps it central to discussions of media ethics and democratic legitimacy. In conclusion, Propaganda is best suited to readers interested in political communication, public relations, media studies, social psychology, and the history of persuasion. It is especially useful for students, journalists, marketers, policy analysts, and anyone trying to understand how public opinion is shaped before it reaches the ballot box or the marketplace. The practical value of the book lies in its plain account of agenda setting, emotional framing, symbolic action, and the role of elites in organizing collective belief. Its intellectual value lies in how clearly it reveals the structure of modern persuasion without hiding behind neutral language. Compared with many books on influence, it is unusually direct about the relationship between democracy and manipulation. That candor is what makes it stand out. It is not a balanced how-to-guide, and it is not a comforting defense of open debate. Instead, it offers a historically important and unsettling framework for understanding how consent is produced in mass society. Readers who want to study the foundations of public relations or the darker side of democratic communication will find it especially significant. If you would like to support Edward Bernays, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.